Jehaziel had to have been an interesting man. He had to be a man of diverse talents. If you look there, about verse 14, he's a Levite, which means he would have been employed in the service of the temple. He would have worked alongside the priests. He would have ministered to the priests. He's listed as the son of Asaph, which makes him part of a class of poets or singers who both wrote and sang in the temple. When we meet him in 2 Chronicles, even though those things are listed, he's actually being called upon God as a seer or as a prophet. And it's the only account we have of him doing that. He kind of pops onto the scene out of obscurity. And as soon as this is over, he's going to disappear again. But watch how God uses him. Watch the message. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. It's the reign of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is actually one of the rare good guys in Judah's history. So they have a good king, and yet things are not going in the right direction for them. The Moabites, the Ammonites, have invaded. They're standing basically on the hill looking down at Jehoshaphat and the rest of Judah. And so the king, as a righteous man, responds immediately, and his response is right on target. As soon as the threat is told to him, he goes to the Lord for advice. He begins to pray. He proclaims a fast for Judah to show God how serious they are in looking for the right answer. He leads a prayer service. And all of Judah responds. And so it's a collective group when Jehaziel gets the message. It's in Jehoshaphat's presence. It's in Judah's presence. They're standing before the Lord, it says in verse 13. And then it happens. God chooses this man that until this moment we really haven't seen. And he chooses him to deliver a message in response to this beautiful prayer, this touching prayer by the king. And he begins to speak, and he speaks a message of victory, in advance of the victory. And he speaks a message of formula as to how they can get from where they are facing the threat to the point of victory. And that formula is what we're looking at to start off with, and then we'll actually come back and address Jehaziel again. Number one, notice as you look in 2 Chronicles 20, starting in verse 15, in the answer that God gives, the message of victory, the formula, number one, is predicated on the Lord's power to deliver. Verse 15, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. What's about to happen is going to require their participation. It's going to require their obedience. They're going to have to follow the formula. But God said, this has never been about you. This is about my ability to deliver you. They're helpless. They are outnumbered. They're no longer a military power. They've been outflanked. They've been caught. And they are destined, if God does not intervene, to be defeated. Maybe taken into captivity again. Maybe destroyed. But Jehaziel's message opens with a reminder that it's not up to Judah to win. It's not up to Judah to provide the power. It's not up to Judah to provide the victory. It's her job to follow instructions. It's her job to walk by faith. It's her job to participate in God's plan, but let God provide the victory. And that's something that's regular. It happens with Gideon when his army is pared down to 300. It happens with David and the lion and the bear and with Goliath. It happens with Daniel in the lion's den. It happens with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God's constantly saying, let me work. I've always been victorious. I always will be. Let's go. That has to be something that we keep in mind. It has to be something that we remember. God has always proven himself up to the challenge. We've yet to see the battle that God lost. Now, we've seen his people lose when they chose the wrong side. We've seen his people lose when they chose the wrong battle plan, when they didn't follow the instructions. But we haven't seen God lose. And yet, too often, we want to leave him out of the plan. Too often, we're guilty of trying to do it by ourselves. Whether it's a battle against sin or a battle against trials, or it's that, as Gilbert was praying, it's that face-to-face battle with Satan as he pops his head up into our lives. And so, as this message opens, it's thrilling to realize we have help. And we have help in the fiercest of engagements with that enemy. It doesn't matter how dire it is. It doesn't matter how much we're outnumbered. It doesn't matter how bad it seems that it is. It's thrilling to realize we have help. We have help in temptation. There's God, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, holding up the lighted sign that points to the way out, like he did for Joseph. And Joseph takes the door of escape. It's God there in the full frontal attack by the enemy like he was in the wilderness with Jesus. When Satan's coming at him with everything he has in Matthew chapter 4. It's God there like he was for Elijah in the midst of despair where Elijah says, you know, I'm the only one left. Kill me and get this over with. I'm sick of this. And God's there with the support. God's there with the victory. He's there with the giant like he was with David. Regardless the battle that you face, God has already waged it numerous times through his other people, and he's won. That's who's sending this message. That's who's saying the battle belongs to me. So we have to call on him. And we have to follow the plan. Number two, Jehaziel's message is one of precise instructions. They can't miss it. Verse 16. Tomorrow go down against them. They will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. Notice, very specific in the time, you're going to go tomorrow. This isn't going to require you spending months getting ready for battle. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to go. Number two, notice it's precise in the action. You're going to go down and against them, but if you go on and read the next verse, and we'll get to it in just a second, he said, all I need you to do is station yourselves and watch me work. Number three, it's in a specific place. He tells them exactly where they need to go to witness this. God wanted them to know he had a battle plan. God wanted them to know how to be successful. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed in the least. Some balk at the rules, but to me, it's a tremendous comfort to know what God expects of me. It's a tremendous comfort to know what he's going to do in return when I do what he expects of me. It's a comfort to know that he's laid out the instructions precisely. He's laid them out plainly. I have to have help to mess them up. I have to have help to misunderstand them. God's not trying to trick us. That's a tremendous comfort to know that it's not going to change. That I'm not going to figure out the instructions one day and all of a sudden God's going to say, oops, change my mind. Let's do it this way. We have a message that's already signed, sealed, and delivered. It's not going anywhere. It's been once and for all delivered. And so He wants us to know and He wants us to succeed. For example, the plan of salvation, straightforward. It's precise. It worked every time in the book of Acts. And it never changed. The plan of the church is straightforward. It's precise. He laid out exactly how she would be organized, exactly how she would worship, etc. And it's never changed. He's told us what's coming. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto man to die one time, and after that the judgment. And He's told me what to do to get ready. There's tremendous comfort in knowing what I'm supposed to do, what to expect, and what's coming in return. Number three, Jehaziel's message pointed to the salvation of the Lord. Not just predicated on the fact he'd done it before, but now in this particular event, he is again pointing directly to it. Look at verse 17. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them. The Lord is with you. Sounds like Moses at the Red Sea. Sounds like God with Gideon and so many other times. Stand back. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Yes, Judah has to do her part. Yes, she has to go tomorrow. Yes, she has to go to the specific place. Yes, she has to do her specific job. But when it comes to the victory, God said, I'll take care of that. From the proper position, the idea of standing, stationing ourselves first, and then standing and seeing the salvation, from the proper position, we can see the Lord work. Maybe the half-hearted, maybe the indifferent, the bitter, the negative might be spiritually blind to it. But if we walk by faith, if we open our eyes, if we read, if we look, we'll see it. We shouldn't be in that position. When we're stationed at the pinnacle of prayer, when we're as close to God as we're going to get in conversation, when we're in the stronghold of His Word, when we're buried in the Word of God, when we're around this table and we're at the lookout of the Lord's Supper and we're seeing what He's done and what He's going to do, when we're truly grateful and we're at that gate of gratitude or the fortress of forgiveness, we're going to see. We're going to see the work of God. We're going to see what He's done in the past. We're going to see what He's doing in our lives now. And with faith, we're going to already see what He can do in the future. It's a lot like gazing at a masterpiece of art. The longer we look, the more we see. And the more I watch God work, I'll be able to see as He expertly weaves the fabric of my life into this tapestry that fits together. And I don't always understand all the pieces. But when I go in faith and I go in prayer and I go in the Word, I see Him work. Sometimes it's in hindsight, but sometimes He'll reveal it to us in the process. The next step is Jehaziel promises divine assistance. Looking there again in verse 17 at the end of it. Do not fear, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to them, for the Lord is with you. What a beautiful phrase. The Lord's with you. And He was. We're not going to look at the battle, but if you read the battle, verse 22, God sets the ambush. Verse 27, He leads them to rejoice in victory. Verse 29, He fights against their enemies. God's right there every step of the way. Again, nothing's changed. He's promised He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. It doesn't matter what battle rages around us or in us. He's going to keep His promise. He'll always be there. Matthew 28 and verse 20, the promise made to the apostles. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He has never failed. And since He has perfect character, He's never going to fail. He was there when Peter sank. Wasn't His fault. But Peter had to go back and recognize Him. He had to call on Him and He had to reach out to him. Now then, I want you to notice something really fascinating. Before the battle even begins, Jehaziel's message provokes celebration. Judah already has the victory. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with the face to the ground. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. The message alone was enough to provoke reverent worship of who God is. The message alone was enough to produce praise from Jehoshaphat down, from top to bottom. Judah is bowing before God and telling Him thank you in advance, praising Him for who He is and what He's done before it ever happens. They believed that they had already gained the victory. He calls on us to do the same thing. Matthew 21 and verse 22, He says, pray believing that it's already been done for you, and it will be. What struggle will we ever face that is greater than our God's saving arm? That's greater than He can save us from? So why not celebrate? Why not know in advance that when we do our part, He's going to do His part? He always wins. And as I said at the beginning, just like that, Jehaziel's 15 minutes of fame is over. He pops on the scene and delivers the word and he fades back into the background. And yet how masterfully God used him at the right time with the right message. So our last point, and I said we would come back to Jehaziel for a second, and then we'll kind of conclude. No matter how anonymous we feel, no matter how average we think we are at times, God has a message for us to deliver. And our message is far greater. Our message is not based on what's going to happen in the future, but what's already happened at Calvary. What's already happened at the tomb. Ours is one of spiritual rescue, not physical battle. It's one of salvation. It's one of eternal victory. And here's the really cool thing. We don't have to wait on the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We already have the message. And we already know what it says. And it's not going to change. And so it's available to us at any time. And so, like Jehaziel, we have to be on the lookout for a chance to share the message. But really quickly, let's review that other stuff too. In your own personal battles, with temptation, with sin, with addiction, with anger, with whatever, remember God's message. Remember the message that leads to victory. It's predicated on His power to deliver. He always has. It's very precise in its instructions. We can go to this book and know exactly how to live, what to do, what He expects of us. It points to the Lord's salvation. If we follow through with the plan to the end, we get the crown of life. It promises divine assistance. He will never leave us. It'll provoke what praise and worship in advance of the victory. And like Judah, if we'll follow it, we'll come out on top. There's a reason that message is still in here. There's a reason we're told the story of Judah's defeat of the Ammonites, the Moabites, through God's plan. There's a reason why God reminds us that He delivered them. It's because He's offering to deliver you tonight. Right out of the bondage of sin, right out of the wilderness, right out of the hands of the enemy, right out of certain death, because the wages of sin is always death. Romans 6:23. So He's offering you the rest of that verse. He's offering you the free gift of eternal life. The victory. With very precise instructions. To hear the gospel, believe that His Son is the Messiah. To confess your sins, to repent, and to be baptized. If you've not done that, the victory's still yours if you want it. And He'll still deliver. And you can still praise. And if you're in the midst of the battle, I don't care what it is. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. God's already fought the battle for somebody else. Let Him fight it for you tonight as we stand and sing.